an introvert with me, because I'm such an extrovert, you may not believe everything I have to say, so we're teaming up here. Oh, Lord be with us this morning and help our message be clear and honor you in Jesus' name. So we're here because community really matters. And you really get that. At City's Edge, we really get that. It's the thing that makes us who we are, and it's huge. And that's why it has to be one of our soapbox things, because it is so huge, because it is so important. So here we are. Community really matters to Mel and I, too, in different ways. But, well, it hasn't always. We kind of had to grow into it, and we kind of had to learn the importance of it in our lives.
I grew up in a Methodist church from about 55 to 73. I went because that's what you did. We wore our best clothes for the good Lord, because apparently he didn't see you outside the building. At our church, we pretended to be, we had it all together, and we ignored the fact that humans are messy. My mother stopped going when she started drinking. My father found another church to save face when my mother divorced him. I walked away from the church because I didn't feel I had any correlation. I didn't really have a need for it. And besides, I was busy partying and street racing.
And I grew up in church. Dad, minister, mom, preacher's kid. Yeah, you know the scene. Anyway, it seemed to me that you had to go to church to please God. And somehow, if you pleased God by going to church, then you'd get blessed. That was kind of the deal. So you just show up. When Mel and I started dating, he had to come too. It was just kind of part of the plan, so he started going back to church. After we went on our Christian retreat called the Walk to Emmaus that some of I've told you about, we got energized. We got excited about God because we realized how much Jesus loved us, how much God loved us and sacrificed for us. So we were energized, and we wanted to do more than just warm a pew. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to be involved in church, and we wanted the scriptures to be explained more to us, and we weren't getting it where we were, so we started looking around.
The first church we tried had great preacher, good music, and it was just awesome. But we could never really connect with the people. They talked about ministry outside the church, but they would discourage us when we were trying to do something. And we brought people from the street in, they did not like that. So we knew we didn't fit.
We didn't drive the same cars either.
That's right.
We drove the beater, they drove the fancy car. Anyway, our next church was solid on the scripture, and I got to lead the praise band, and we were starting to develop some small groups. We were building up, you know, a young people church, younger adults, whatever. We were doing small groups, but we could never get past it's social thing. It wasn't ever anything more. You could never get very deep with people. And it just seemed like it wasn't going very far. And then, I mean, we can live with that. Mm-hmm. But then the next pastor came in, changed pastors. And the new guy seemed to think the Bible was some kind of storybook with a moral ending, and what you did in relation to that was iffy. You never knew quite where his morals and his theology was. And I kept challenging him on it, and that kind of got me kicked out of church. Done. Bye-bye. And, you know, what was weird was our friends didn't, like, even ask what happened, with the exception of two people.
Of course, about half the church was gone by that time, too.
Yeah, we kind of disappeared. Where am I? Okay, yeah. By then, I had pretty much decided that my Christian influence, that God's Christian influence was Christians kind of scattered out like stars. Maybe two or three in this church and four, one here, all over the place. And that if I was going to get any energy from the body of Christ, I was going to have to kind of have these friends that were scattered around energize me, and then I was going to pour it into where I was locally in a church. So we were going to look for the least offensive church for us, a place that the theology worked and it didn't annoy us with the worship and the music was not off pitch. And then we walked into City's Edge. And you know what? It felt like home right away. Dan was preaching from the scriptures, and people asked us deeper questions. They welcomed us. They got to know us. You guys really wanted to know who we were. And what was best was that a bunch of you, most of you we talked to, were actually wanting to work on your own faith, actually leaning into Jesus and do the things we wanted to do. And I thought, wow, we really found somewhere. It was cool.
And when we told you who we were, you didn't go running away screaming.
Which is always a plus. Community really matters to God, too. All through the Bible, it talks about community. Every time you see, it's the people of God. It's not one over here and one over there. I mean, God brought Israel out of Egypt as a group. He taught them to worship as a group. He taught them the kind of way to worship as a group. He brought them into the Promised Land as a group. And when they scattered out, he brought them together for festivals. And not just once a year, they were festivals on a regular basis. And there was regular worship. And there was the big temple he went to once a year, but then there were little synagogues in every community. He encouraged his body to be part of worship. And when Jesus came, he made it personal. He had 12 disciples follow him around and live with him everywhere. And when the apostles, after Christ left on the cross, before they really knew what was going on, they received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit drew them together, and they started doing things together.
Acts 2:4. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling the possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together and were glad and in sincere hearts.
They did life together. God calls us to be together for a reason. It helps us to be who we're meant to be and to do what we're called to do. Christian community also helps with our physical needs.
When my back was trashed, we needed to get the firewood in for the year and get it split and stacked. They put a word out on Facebook, and a lot of you showed up and blessed us by doing a week's worth of work in just a couple of hours, a few hours, and it was fun.
And there was pizza.
Pizza.
When Jim's floor was starting to creak and fall through in places, you know, we let people know, and there we were. Dave was in there, and Raceland was in there, and Steve was in there, and we were building a floor, baby.
That's right. When Janine's car died, we chipped up. We passed the hat around and got some money to get her a car that actually ran.
We opened our homes to Russ, who was out of work and homeless and couch surfing. And right now, City's Edge is providing rides and childcare and meals and stuff for Sue, who's going through chemo, and just, you know, some moral support. It's huge. Community is huge. And our moms, our young moms are sharing kids. Mm-hmm. They're sharing homeschooling. They're sharing some moral support there because gosh knows we need it, right? Okay. We do support in so many ways, and I encourage that. That's what we've got to do. We should do more of that if that's possible. Everywhere you see a need, that's where we should be. Christian community also helps us to stay focused on Jesus. I am a fire builder.
She's good at it. Very good.
And one thing about a fire is when you build it, you have to leave space for the air to get through, but you have to get the logs close enough together that they keep each other burning. And even when you get a big fire going, if you pull one of the logs out, it's going to go out. It won't take very long, and it'll be dead. The rest of the fire will be doing fine, but that log is going to go out. We need each other to keep the spirit alive. We need to keep being reminded all the time.
Mm-hmm. And how does community keep me focused on Jesus? Well, I can tell you, 1 hour on a Sunday does not offset the 167 hours for the rest of the week where I'm bombarded by bad news, advertising, stories, and stories I wish I had not heard. Being in small groups like Drama helps me know the challenges of others around me and what they're facing. It allows me to bring up my own concerns and celebrations and prayer. By staying closer to the church community, I find that I am more positive and have a happy, minty smile. Okay, I just want to see if you're listening.
Being in the community also reminds us who's in control. Since I've started going to our women's group, I have started to see prayer work in a way I never thought I would see. When we socialize, we get to know each other, and that part of community is awesome. But at the end of the night, we always pray five prayers, right, Beth? Sometimes more, sometimes less, but that's the best rules, five. But when I look back on the answers to those five prayers over the few years we've been here, God has been amazing doing things that we could not do. Mm-hmm. And we could not even expect to have done, except that God answered yes to some of those prayers. And some of them were little things, like Yetta had us pray for the fact that this neighbor in the next apartment would run his TV late at night and she couldn't sleep. And the next night, he stopped doing it, and he never started again. I don't know why, God just did it. She didn't even have to knock on the door. But then the other thing, you know, we prayed for Sandra. Sandra was having horrible dizziness. She could barely walk, and she couldn't ride in a car very long or any of that. And she wanted to go on a flight, a great vacation. And so she came, and we prayed for her, and it went away. And she went on her trip, and it never came back, did it? No, God took it and took care of it. And then later on, when she got cancer diagnosis and it was huge and it was all through her sinuses, she got brave enough to say, let's pray for this, because that other stuff was working. So we prayed for that. And when they took that cancer out, it came all in one piece. It was the grace of God, and God is huge. God is in control, and every time I see that, I know how much in control he is, and then I can give him more of my life. But that wouldn't happen in a vacuum. If we weren't praying together, we wouldn't see that kind of power. And I think that's why he says that we need to pray together. Where's that scripture? There we go. Matthew 18:2-20.
For where two and or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst.
God reminds us who we are in his eyes. I'm not great at seeing myself. Sometimes I need to be reminded when I step out of line, when I'm doing something that maybe I don't realize I'm doing. When we were young in our relationship, a bunch of my friends dragged me and Mel with them into the back bedroom and told me, you know what? You always have to be right, and it's annoying. You will argue us down into the ground until we admit that you're right, and you won't let it rest. And you know what? They were right. I got that from my dad. It was a habit I grew up with, and it seemed, you know, culturally right for that time. But now, it's like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be doing that. And so with their help, I worked on it. and hopefully I'm better at it. If I get out of line, you let me know. And sometimes I am right. And sometimes his name gets to go on the calendar when he's right. But anyway, I digress.
That's right.
But there are times when I need to be reminded that there is goodness in me when I'm down on myself. When I feel like I can't do anything right, when I feel like I'm such a bobo, how could anybody like me? You guys let me know how loved I am. You guys let me see the grace of God and remind me that, you know, if I don't remember names all the time, it's okay. We love you anyway. And that is so huge to me. You are Christ to me. That's who we're supposed to be.
I have a friend at work. His name is Randy. Randy is a believer in Christ, but he was beaten by his parents when he was raised. It was normal in his family. He doesn't go to church because he's afraid of what will happen if he gets angry at a church. Randy sees God as a deity with a huge hammer ready to smash him flat when he does something wrong. He prays for my back daily. That humbles me and surprises, you know. I'm touched and humbled by this. I'm his only church community. I pray for him and try to give him guidance. But as one person, I'm not enough. Without community, Randy is a little warped. He cannot see how much God loves him. He doesn't have the support of the community like we do. To help guide him, I try to help guide him, but he probably feels like he has a weight of the world on his shoulders.
Change and growth can be slow and messy. When somebody like Randy comes here and becomes part of us, it can be a little trying on our patience sometimes, and there's going to be times when we need to have a little more understanding and let some things go by, when we need to have some special grace for him or for me.
What she said.
It takes patience. Being involved in community takes commitment. Our early church days, we were tempted to do everything but go to church. I mean, hey, we were young and there were lots of things to do. Hey, there's still way too many things to do. There's trips to the beach and hot rod events and concerts and sleeping in on Sunday and any number of things. The skit was awesome that way. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a million other things we could do than be here. But we need each other. And so we knew that was important, so we made it a habit. We committed to each other that we would make it a priority in our lives. We make a habit of it. I will always remember, I had this lovely friend in our first church who welcomed everybody. She would know the name of the littlest child and all about what their favorite toys were to the oldest person, and everybody just loved her. And she loved them, and they knew it. And when she went home to Jesus, you could not get everybody in the building for her memorial. There were people way out in the parking lot because she was so loved. And I thought, I want to be like that. I want people to know how special community is. I want them to know how loved they are. I want them to be here. But I'm an extrovert. Okay, I love to be around people. You invite me to the party, and I am there. That's why I brought Mel. He's the introvert, and he has to work up the energy to be around gatherings of people. So,
I'm happiest cruising the hot rod websites and tinkering in my shop quietly. Being creative, I like quiet time to recharge and to think. It took a lot of Debbie's nudging to get me to come to small groups, which I love. Who knew? Large groups like the White Elephant Gifts Exchange are quite frankly to me like singing in a hurricane. Little overwhelming, But you know, if I interact with only the people at my table, blast. Here are some things I do to be involved in the community and make people feel welcome. On Sundays, I make it a rule to give hugs to Yetta, Phyllis, and Richard's mother, and Barbara. Because, doggone it, they need it. I try to touch base with my circle. Dan, Dave, Garoso, Don, Jim, Yetta, Kathy, Doug, and Kent. If I have time, I'll smile at a new face in the crowd and introduce myself and point at the gal with the choo-choo hat singing up on the stage.
I try to take every moment that I'm not involved in on stage or with the drama or whatever to get to know people, to go up to the new person and find out who they are and let them know that it's okay to be here and we don't fight, and you know, let them know what's going on a little bit. And I try to get to as many people as I can. Because you guys are all my friends, and I want to touch base with all of you, and I want you to all know how much I love you, and I want to know what's happening with you. But there's not much time before the service, so it's kind of, I have to pick and choose, and I look for people who are isolated and feel like I need to help them come in and be with us. And then after the service, then I feel like I have more time to really talk and get to know people better and really get a chance to see what's going on with you and yeah, all of that good stuff. I love small groups. Love small groups because then I really get to know you and I really get to see what you're struggling with and you get to see what I'm struggling with, celebrating, whatever. And I feel like we can do it together, that I don't have to be alone in life, that I have that support and that strength, and I can lend that to you. Now, when I'm not actually with people, then I'm on Facebook, and I'm reading your stuff, and I'm seeing who you are, and I'm praying for you. Because I know that you need prayer sometimes, and yeah, so I'm all in. Community isn't always easy. Sometimes we hurt each other. And we don't always even know it, because we're broken people, right? But because we often misunderstand each other, that just means we have to try harder.
30 years ago, when I was dating Debbie, I had a roommate and best friend by the name of Don Keller. Don stated one day that, you know, if you mow the lawn, we're renting a house together, if you mow the lawn, I'll cook. Let's see, 3.5 months mowing lawn, year-long cooking, smoking deal. Yeah, I'll take that. I'm no fool. About 11 months, well, then I realized all you knew how to cook was wiener wraps. But, oh well, we were dating, and it was fun, and 11 months later, Don was pretty angry with me, and I really didn't know why. And I was getting pretty angry at him because I don't like being treated that way. Finally, Debbie and his Debbie conked her heads together and made us talk it out. And turns out he wasn't too happy with the labor exchange. So, you know, I almost lost a friendship over weenie wraps. Communication is very important. Sometimes we goof up without knowing that we hurt somebody. We need to tell each other when we're hurt and then through grace forgive each other. It's going to happen.
We were all meant to function together in community, understanding that we're important to each other, that we need each other. Here's how the Bible puts it, 1 Corinthians. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, I'll put in women or men, that was somewhere else. We're all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body's not made up of one part, but of many. If a foot says, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it wouldn't be it wouldn't cease to be part of the body. But the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? On and on and on about how all these parts should work together. But we should be arranged in the body the way God meant us to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. We all have different gifts. We are different people. And here, sometimes, some of us are more different than others. But we're all meant to be together. We're all meant to function together. So, we're made to be connected. Love is our model because God is love. Being in community is how we grow. It's how we learn to be who we are and who we're meant to be. It's how we have strength to face our world. It's where we find our resources through life. It's how we experience the love of God. Without community, we would soon lose our fire and our will to continue on our faith walk. We need to make it a priority to show up for ourselves and for each other. In other words, we need each other.
Who knew?
So invite people to do things with you, to play with you, to pray with you, to cry with you, to laugh with you, to create with you. Ask them to help you fix cars and chop wood. Help them pull weeds and herd children. Visit them when they're sick and share life. When the world sees us doing that, they see Jesus. When they see us loving each other, they have a glimpse of what God's love is. So let's party. You pray with me. Bind us together, Lord, with your love. Make us into who we were meant to be. Show us who we are through each other's love, through our love for each other. Keep us close. Keep us moving on track. Keep us leaning into you, because you are the source and the center and the head of this body. Thank you so much for making us a people of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.